Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned into KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with my favorite gardener. It is Lance Swaggart in the house.
Good evening. How are you out there?
Everybody out there is glad that you're here. I think they're all doing well. We're enjoying the change of weather blowing in, I think. I think snow is on the horizon for tonight. What do you think?
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Yeah, no rain. I want snow.
I know. It's melting everything we have pretty darn fast.
And then it's really muddy.
Mucky and muddy.
Because the ground underneath is frozen. And the water has no place to go.
No place. Yeah. Just can't go right in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We've got a lot to talk about. I mean, look at the
my list,
the notes
list.
On the back of that envelope, Lance. There's not enough time to do that. All right, and it is a call-in show, so we'd love to talk with you. 527-4868-1866, KVNF Now. Of course, the State of the Garden address. That's what this is. Thank you, Jeff. And last week, really fun show. We had Don Leroux from Zephyros Farm in here talking about the great seed program that you guys have going, the seed-to-seed workshop that's starting up here pretty soon. And last night was the kickoff with the movie Seeds of Time at the Paradise Theater.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that, Lance. Tell us about that movie.
Well, that was just the man that had instigated the ideas of a huge seed bank. And it's in the Arctic Circle. I can't pronounce the island it's on in Norway. And anyways, he went around the world just talking to different seed companies, seed groups, and different seed banks throughout the world. And everybody has put some stuff there. And it's one way. I think they're storing it at 18 below.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And they'll say they could stay there for 200 years.
Is that... That's cold stratified.
It's definitely cold stratified. But anyways, but their main gist was the perils that we're in because we've lost 93% of all our vegetable and fruit crops that used to be available.
Wow, because we don't grow that seed anymore?
I think it was because of the super hybrids that came in starting in the 40s and early 50s, and they just stopped using them because lots of those heirloom or old varieties are not machine harvestable,
right?
And agriculture is industrialized,
right?
In most places, and so that's why they got
pushed out.
There's probably 400 varieties of potatoes, but what do we grow? Maybe 5 or 10.
Wow!
And the russet. The reason why the russet got developed is it has thick skins, so you can get beat up with the machine harvest.
Sure, a lot more hardy and like you say. 93%. That is a shocking number.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. But anyways, he still said at the end of the movie, you think of all these seed banks, and he was still saying that where the work's going to be is on the ground.
The little people.
The little people, and they really did a lot of work in the movie with some people of the Andes. And what they were doing with their potatoes and stuff. And they actually had a potato garden that was for research to keep on developing or growing the old varieties.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they got five different tribes to work together. And then they sent a bunch of the seed from that to the International Potato Growers thing or something like that. And they're regrowing them out and sending them back to these people to grow them out.
Oh, that's great.
And just a little aside thing, potatoes in the wild actually set fruit and can be grown from seed. They actually have a little green tomato type fruit. And if you let that mature, you'll have seeds in it. It'll probably look like peppers or tomato seeds. And you can actually grow it out from that.
No kidding.
Yeah. But it has to be pretty close to the wild varieties. The newer varieties, they bloom, but they don't really set fruit.
Right.
Rarely.
Right. So that's one of those varieties that we don't want to allow to go extinct.
And,
I guess that's the thing that I always get excited about when Don is in here to talk about seed saving is there's so many varieties and new hybrids that we can come up with.
Mm-hmm.
that it's exciting.
Yeah.
It's kind of like putting the punch back in the 93% that's lost.
Mm-hmm. And plants have a way of mutating to adapt to their conditions.
Right.
And so, you know, as long as you keep on growing things out, it will grow out.
Yep. Okay, so the Seeds of Time movie kicked off the Seed to Seed workshop, and that's starting up. First event is happening on March 6th, and that's going to be down there. It's a seed swap, a seed panel.
Yeah, that's in the evening. The day there's actually a workshop, and I don't know if it's actually going to be at Rogers Mesa Research Station, or I think it says Lance's place.
On March 6th? Okay,
yeah,
great.
Yes, so it might be at my place and stuff. But it's all that information is available with, VOGA website, Slow Food, Western Slope, and the Learning Council.
Okay.
Yeah.
So check that out. You want to go ahead and register, and what a great thing. And so it's 9 months. It's the first Wednesday,
First Wednesday of every month.
Of every month. And it's doing something new with seed saving, and it's all local.
Yeah, it's all local.
Yeah, it's really connecting in. Okay, 527-4868-1866, KVNF Now, worm@kvnf.org is the email. And just seed saving time of the year that we're talking about it, because just a couple days before that, on March 4th, which would be a Monday, you and Sarah Smith from the Hotchkiss Library, or Delta Libraries, who's been a special guest on our show, are doing a seed saving workshop for beginners?
For beginners.
Okay, tell us about that.
Well, it's just going to be, what you can do, the amount of varieties. I should say the numbers of each plant you should have.
Right.
The easiest stuff to do. We wouldn't talk about, it would be all annuals, because by then nobody has the biennial stuff like carrots and onions and cabbage. So it'd be all annuals, lettuce, spinach, beans, peas, cilantro, those kind of things.
Great.
And it'll be about an hour to an hour and a half.
Okay. So some of the things that we talk about when Sarah's on the show, it's just going to be a hands-on thing.
Mm-hmm. I'll probably bring in a bunch of stuff that needs to be either cleaned, sorted, something. I'll bring in stuff.
Okay. So 5 p.m. at the Hotchkiss Library on March 4th. So get on the registration. It seems like a long way away, but February is almost over.
It'll pass fast.
It'll pass fast, yeah. It's exciting. I think 2019 is the year of seed saving.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
The start of it.
The start of it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Then it never ends, does it, Lance?
No.
All right. Seed saving and food storage. So it's the middle of winter close to the middle of winter. And where are you in your food storage pit? Are you halfway through that or status?
No, I haven't even got to the second pit.
Really?
No, I'm going to get back in it tomorrow and stuff. So that'll be carrots, radishes, daikon radish, and round black Spanish radish, kohlrabi, beets. And I'm trying, there might be something else in there. I don't do turnips or rutabagas, so I know they're not in there.
No.
You know.
Brilliant deduction.
I've had a few people recently ask me, do you got any root crops? You know, they're doing special dinners and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I got a little bit still there.
All right. Actually, are you right on time? Are you on schedule, or how are you feeling about that?
I think last year
you had plenty of food.
Yeah, it would be fine. Mm-hmm. The thing that I can see getting is you can store cabbage. I've talked about storing cabbage.
Yes.
And I just got three out today. And so that leaves me 12 for the rest of the year.
Oh, I think you will do just fine.
It'll be just fine. And then there's still plenty of potatoes. There's probably over 100 pounds of potatoes.
Oh, wow.
And there's
great.
Probably about 2 bushels of onions. And the garlic wasn't a good crop to say. Or actually, mine was a good crop. But so many people had poor crops that I ended up selling a lot of garlic for seed to plant.
Oh, yeah. We kind of talked about that a little bit. So
I still have almost a half a bushel of spring garlic.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't even taken out what I want to plant.
Not a lot.
No.
Yeah. And that's one of those things you can learn in this whole seed saving mm-hmm. thing going on, is that you do need to take out garlic for seed. That yeah, was something to, important that we
Yeah, I learned covered. Early on the garlic thing, is as soon as I harvest it, I sort out the stuff I want for seed. Because
uh-huh.
I start selling it, or somebody comes and wants to buy a bunch, and I'm all my good stuff for seed is
yeah.
gone.
Yeah, you want to keep your stash.
So I just do that immediately. You know, don't even wait
yeah.
on that one.
All yeah. right. And you had some squash that...
started going bad.
Oh.
You know, and that's okay. It happens this year.
Did you go to cook it and it was soft or what?
No. You could see the moldy, rotten spots on
it. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the stems just break right off, this and that. So you just cut out the bad spots and you bake it and freeze it. And now I have a bunch of squash. For,
oh, there you go. So it's not all lost.
Soup. No, it's not all lost. It just, I do it in the Dutch oven next mm-hmm. to my fireplace wood stove. And so I only doing half or, every day I might do a whole winter squash.
Whoa, that sounds
And it's in, and it's not, I'm not using any extra heat. It's the mm-hmm. fireplace.
Right. Nice. So. The rest of us are using our new one pots. Yeah. Which is so
I did make bread in the wood-fired oven.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so what kind of grain did you – what were you making?
Oh, let's see. Wheat, rye, spelt. Mm. There's always amaranth in it. And I think Tibetan barley and
– Wow, that's a great grain combo.
Yeah. And then, of course, the poppy seeds that I grow.
And so what kind of flavor is most dominant in that? Maybe the rye with the –
Actually, I don't know.
It's just bread to me.
but it's pretty solid.
That sounds delicious.
And I don't let it rise. I don't let it rise real big.
Mm-hmm.
It gets it's a solid loaf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds good, and I bet it smells great.
It's
baking.
Yeah, in the house it smells great. Out in the outside oven, it smells good when it comes out. But it's inside a big oven.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right. All right. And remember, you can check out Lance's place by participating in the mm-hmm. Seed-to-Seed workshop, because they're going to be heading up there at least a few times during that 9 months. So, and you can participate tonight, 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now. Check in the email, worm@kvnf.org. Hey, let's talk pruning a little bit. How about that?
Yeah.
Because pruning's coming up, and at least thinking about what you've got going and starting to get out there.
You were
out today pruning.
I was out today, and I've still got a little bit more of my hedgerow to do, but, that will get done.
Yeah, you were going after that this
year.
That's been your big project.
That will take me an hour to finish that one. What's more of a problem is hauling the brush out. Cleaning it up.
Oh, sure. And you are kind of tidy about things. So.
But I did want to talk about the fire blight real briefly.
Okay, fire blight.
Fire blight last over the years, and I've tried to prune it out, and some stuff works just fine, and some do not. And the Fuji apple tree was, even though I've pruned it out really well and put the disinfectant on the pruners and stuff. It's mm-hmm. still, so I actually cut that tree to the stump. I went out there with a chainsaw.
Okay. So
yeah, it's below all of the growth, and we'll see how it suckers up.
Okay. So Fuji apple.
Yeah.
Down.
Okay. And then several years ago, I did a Flemish Beauty pear, cut it down like that, and sprouted up really good over the past 2 years. And then the firelight showed up again in the late summer, early fall. And so that one is, I'm going to actually take the stump out. It's gone.
You're going to take the whole thing out. Yeah.
It's out.
Totally gone.
Yeah.
Were those in the same area? Is that, can those cross from the pear to the apple?
Well, how fire blight travels is the bees work an infected plant, the flowers.
Okay.
And that's where it comes the other way. Now, it can probably come in soil, it can come on tools. So there's several different ways, but the main one, because I'm pretty isolated, and to have this show up.
Somebody brought it in.
The bees brought it in from somebody.
Okay. All right. So you're just kind of cleaning up trees that maybe were diseased. I know you have the mulberry situation going on, being you're taking some mulberries out, right?
Not this year. I'm going to prune it good this year.
Pruning good.
Yeah, but next
year.
Yeah. I'm going to lighten it up so I can get a little bit more light down in there for the grapevines.
Okay.
And on the north side of those trees, there's the fruit trees not too far away, and they're being shaded.
Okay.
So that's the main thing.
Right, the shade.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are massive, great-looking mulberry trees.
Yeah.
Who has a mulberry tree that big? Yeah. Wow.
Well, go ahead.
What?
Oh, I was just going to say there's some – I have a friend that makes spoons and ladles. And dippers.
Wood.
Uh-huh. Well, any type of hard fruit wood and stuff. And it's a beautiful yellow wood. So,
Nice.
You know, so you got the size, and I've already looked up there. There's some perfect ones for dippers.
Oh, nice.
You know, so.
I remember some of those spoons one year on the KVNF auction.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I battled someone for them. And every once in a while, I see them out on the table.
Yeah.
Okay. 527-486-8166-KVNF now. So thinking about cleaning up some trees that you might not want to take into the year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe where you're going to place some trees that you might be thinking about planting, putting in this spring.
This is just something I run into when I'm pruning, is people plant trees in the worst places.
Darndest places.
Most of the time they're okay, but... walls, fences, houses, sheds, keep it at least 15 feet away.
15 feet.
Yeah.
That's so hard
when
you're planting a tree, but it is really good advice.
Because anything that's near that wall, you're going to have a heck of a time pruning.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. And it seems like it grows slow, but at a certain point, it's like right there.
Yeah, it's right there. Today, I was pruning an apricot tree. It had a rock wall around, that was 2.5 feet. Up, but down below was gravel, then the fruit tree, and then on the north side of it, it was an embankment, you know, with rocks and boulders in it. So I forgot.
That's precarious.
Yeah, so I forgot to bring my pole pruner because there's always those spots you can't get to.
Right.
So anyways, so if make it easy on yourself. Do not plant these trees unless there's espalier and there's some heavy pruning called cordons. You make cordons. But I suggest you really research how to do that before you.
Proper placement for
it. Yeah, and you can actually put those right on walls.
Okay.
That's espalier and these cordons. In fact, I think Jared Lowell was doing some. A couple of years he called in about that.
Yeah, I like that technique.
And you can't
think about it.
If you have, small yards and you have some nice walls, that's what you can do.
Okay.
But educate yourself on the pruning.
We might talk about that on another show coming up when we really dig into pruning. Hey, right now we're going to talk to our friend Duna calling from Norwood with a question. Hi, Duna.
Hey, how are you doing, Jill?
Well, how are you tonight?
I'm okay. Hi, Lance.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question about pruners. I've had this peach tree for probably 6 years, and now a little baby apricot, and all of these things are growing that I need recommendation as far as pruners. That it's kind of like before the stage of chainsawing, but after the chain, after the little garden pruners, what would you recommend beyond lopper things?
You want hand pruners? That's what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, the best one on the market is Felco.
Right, that's what I'm looking
and
to, Felco.
Felco, and there's all different types. I use the Felco number 2. It's the,
number 2.
Yeah, and there's another one, I forget, and it actually has a handle that's sort of angled different. It has an angle. I don't recall the number of that one. But and they actually, for all those people out there left-handed, they do have left-handed pruners from Felco.
Right.
So,
okay, yeah, a friend gave me some pruners, and I think they're left-handed, and they're kind of like loppers. They don't they don't work for me.
Yeah, and Felcos, you can buy a replaceable blade for $22.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
nice.
When they first came out, they actually, when you bought a Felco pruner, it came with the extra blade. Now, because things have changed, it's now you have to buy the extra blade, and you have to know the number of what you got because they're different sizes.
Okay. Oh, that's great information. Because I want to invest in Felco, but I'm going, this is going to be like a lifetime.
Yeah. Well, what I've seen right now, just in catalogs, and in, there's a few stores in the area that will carry them, and they're
$70.
And if you buy it in the catalog, there's $60 and $10 shipping. So it's $70.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Anywhere else, it's $22 for the replacement blade.
And the number two is a pretty good all-purpose.
I do everything from 1 inch down. You shouldn't say that, but you can cut metal with it. And there is a wire cutting notch in it, so you can cut like baling wire and stuff with it.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so it's there, and they're really good. Fiskar is another company if you want to look at a little bit cheaper, but they have really good.
Yeah.
They're plastic, a lot of plastic there, but the metal's really good.
Yeah, I've always had my heart set on Felco.
Okay.
All right. Lance, thank you so much
for the info.
Great. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Duna. All right. Great to hear from Duna out in Norwood, who's got a solution to some pruning going on there. Felco number two.
Felco number twos.
Yeah.
You know.
Talking about building up your tools for pruning and otherwise, one of your things has always been sharp tools.
Sharp tools. Mm-hmm. Get them sharp. I had mine sharpened over a month ago.
Oh, you did? Oh, my gosh. You're already ready.
Yeah.
And what's that old saying?
It's time to prune when the pruners are sharp.
Okay. So.
Yeah. So it's my saws are sharp. Mm-hmm. Everybody's.
You're ready to go.
Yeah.
Good deal.
I just forgot to put the saw in the truck and the pole pruner saw, but it was my first time out. So.
You'll get back into it. Yeah.
Don't worry. As soon as I get home.
That's not happening again.
No.
All right. 527-4868, 1-866 KVNF now. So you're doing right now, you're pruning today, apricots, plums.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just what was in this yard.
Okay.
And
no real timing, but it's just based on your work and
that was it. Normally, you would be pruning apples and pears now. And if you look around the orchard, you can see that that's what people are pruning.
They're starting on that.
It's apples and pears.
Okay.
And so the reason they start a little bit earlier, and I've even seen some orchards, they had so much work, they started into December. But it's better to wait till February and March.
Okay.
Even early April. But apples and pears are first. And then you got the stone fruit, apricots and plums. And cherries.
Mm-hmm.
And since these are just backyard gardens mainly, I would wait on the peaches until mid to late March.
Okay.
Don't touch your grapes till the first, second week of April.
Okay.
And
all right. It's really not that far out. I mean, that's like 60 days out for grapes.
Yeah.
And that's the last thing we're kind of touching. So
yeah, it's better to
be back into it here.
Yeah. And it's better to prune lightly over heavily. And the reason why you don't. If you're really unsure, it's better to leave too much on. And because what happens if you prune a lot off? Is we have such intense summer sun, it will sunburn the top of the branches, the big branches.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And then that's really hard to get the tree to grow those back.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's better to prune lightly.
That's a good one because we've talked about different bushes and stuff on the show before that were affected from the sun, like a sunburn.
Yeah, like a sunburn. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think. And there's another saying. That you have, if you want a fruit tree to grow, or any shrub or tree, you prune it hard, because then it really suckers a lot.
Okay.
You know, if that's, it's something you want.
Mm-hmm. And so that's a way to force it.
Yeah.
Since
I don't recommend it. mm-hmm. you know. And then if you don't want it to grow so much, you leave it hairy. In other words, you don't prune that much.
Okay.
And you want it because it has to support more leaves.
Right.
So it's not going to grow that
right.
rapidly.
Yeah, there's definitely an art to the whole pruning thing. And we're going to be doing some specific shows about pruning where we're talking specifically about the plant. You're good at letting us know which bud and all of that.
Yeah.
But there's also a pruning workshop that's happening down south. And this is happening March 7th. Wow, that's a busy week. You've got your seed saving on March 4th. And then Wednesday's the seed swap and the kickoff of the seed-to-seed workshop. And then, and then the next day is this workshop, pruning workshop. And it is the Montezuma Dolores County Extension Office's Fruit Tree Project. And it's happening way down south between Cortez, Dove Creek, way down there. But obviously, we have listeners down there. And you need to bring your own chair, water, snacks, lunch, and dress in warm clothing. And there, you can also bring loppers and hand pruners. But it's a whole $15 payable at the door or at the orchard. And it's a workshop on pruning fruit trees.
Yeah. You know, I just sort of always had a knack for pruning. Even when I was young, I really had a but I would recommend, because it is quite confusing at times, especially talking on it on the radio, that it's really a hands-on thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a chance to go to a pruning workshop, wherever you might be, I would recommend going to it.
Okay. That may be the one. And let me just give a phone number on that, 970-677-2283. And, of course, you can look it up on kvnf.org. And we have just a quick moment for Jane with a question about pruners. Hi, Jane.
Hi. This isn't actually a question.
Okay.
But I have a suggestion for that lady, because not everybody has hands as strong as Lance's.
Okay.
And it's chestnut tools, and it's a ratchet pruner that I think I got at the Ace store in Delta, and it ratchets. It's not a bite. It's not. I think Lance has seen it, and if you can't cut the small branch, it ratchets up to another angle, and it's so handy for some things. I can't with my hands. I can't cut the thing with the two, but I can cut it with my chestnut.
Yeah,
thank you, Jane.
From Canada.
Yeah, you get some momentum on that, and perfect.
Yeah. That's all.
Okay. Thank you, Jane. Thanks for the call. And we do have to wrap it up here because we do have important State of the Union coming up here on KVNF. And Lance will be back next
week,
Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. So thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
Enjoy your evening.
And faster. I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Lord,